talking about the hot topics in politics.
Yeah, man, but it's a dry heat.
This is the Stacey Petty Show on News Talk 1310 KFKA.
He was talking loco, and I like it.
Now, here's Stacey.
Top of the 9 o'clock hour here in your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Stacey Petty with you on this fine Friday. It is our Westlake Wine and Spirits Day here at 1310 KFKA. We are going to be talking about a wine throughout the next few hours, as we always do. Questions, comments, anything happening on the roads, you can direct to 353-1310 or 877-353-1310. And as you also know, on Fridays, I always have in-studio guests with me. I love doing this because we get to touch upon a lot of different people and a lot of different subjects and a lot of different passions. And I know one of these individuals from a very long time ago. Do we say how long ago?
Sure.
We went to high school together. Class of 1987, woo-hoo! Brighton High School.
Go Bulldogs.
Sarah Newcomb, Padbury.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
But you've been Padbury probably longer than you've been Newcomb, because I've been a Petty longer than I've been a Treherne.
Absolutely. Been married 24 years now.
Congratulations. We're working on 30. We're getting up to 30.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. In May, it'll be 30. Because as everyone knows, Jim and I got married when we were still in the school.
I remember that.
It was quite the controversy and rumors at the time. And they were all true.
But hey, you're still here.
We're still here. Still plugging along. Still thrilled to
That's
have
awesome.
Each other. Yeah.
Good
so,
for you.
And one of the reasons that I had asked Sarah a long time ago, or she had been, as the show was developing, and I was thinking about what I wanted to do for these Fridays, mm-hmm. and I had a thought in my mind of, I'd want Sarah in here because you are an adoption advocate.
Yes.
And I have to be honest with you here. For a long time, I have said, I have no idea how many kids she has. And then you happened to post this past Father's Day, and it came through my feed. You were sending a well wish to your husband, your 6 legal children, and all the other ones.
Yes.
And so is it safe for me to say that this other individual is one of the other ones? Kind of, sort of?
Well, no.
No.
He's got his own adoptive family that adores him.
But is he part of your circle here?
He's absolutely a part of my circle of life.
Yeah. Isidore Ruckel, welcome.
Thank you.
And Isidore is an adoptee from Romania. And when Sarah and I started talking about this, I'm going to end up crying here. When Sarah and I started talking about this, and she sent me the link to your website, and it showed a video in there that you all have produced. Were you involved in the production at all? Or is this?
It was actually produced by the Washington Post about a year and a half ago now, about Isidore's life.
I remember very clearly, because I was always a big fan of the show 2020. I remember very clearly when they started the reports, the expose on the Romanian orphanages a long time ago. And I had that, so that was 1990. I had just had my second child
mm-hmm.
at that point. And so as a mother, you can't even look at that.
And not be moved.
Absolutely. And it has stuck with me all of these years. I have a physician that she's from Romania, and I've had a lot of conversations with her over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is almost ironic or maybe divine that he is in your life and you wanted to pull him in here. Because, I mean, I'm getting chills right now thinking about how I felt witnessing that video that 2020 presented those many years back. And I'm honored and I'm thrilled that Isidore, you are here with us. And we're going to be having a very in-depth conversation today. So, again, questions, comments, 353-1310, 877-353-1310, if there's anything you want to bounce off of these folks. And as always, go to my Facebook wall, Stacey Petty Show. I'm going to be linking, again, your website. Again, I want to push it out there a lot. I've received a lot of hits off of it. You know, when you do these pages on Facebook, you can see how many times something's been clicked on. It's been clicked on a lot. Not a lot of comments or likes on it, but there's a lot of clicks on there. And so I will link that again because I just want to toss it out there into the internet world again. And we're going to be talking about your journey, your movie questions. Yes. And I mean, I have so many questions for both of you. Nothing I've actually jotted down. It's all here. So we'll see what happens as we develop. But thank you so much for making the drive I know it was a long drive because you're in Castle Rock, Sarah?
Yes.
And you, how long have you been down there? You guys moved somewhat recently, right?
Just a couple of years ago we moved
to Castle Rock. Okay, because you were in
Denver. Right. We were in Green Valley Ranch area.
Okay.
It's a very multiracial area. We chose that area specifically because although my husband and I are Caucasian, none of our children are.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to bring them up in that kind of an environment.
Okay. So it was a good choice for that period of time.
It was.
And then you've graduated off the triplets.
Yes, at home we have 3 18-year-olds and 3 15-year-olds currently. And the 3 18-year-olds graduated this year and are heading off to college here in the next couple weeks.
Just boom, half of them gone.
Woohoo!
In one fell swoop, though.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot to handle on an emotional level, though.
It's emotionally and especially logistically. There's a lot to deal with three kids going to prom and graduation and preparing for college and all the issues that come with leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's been quite a year.
And if I ask any questions that are too personal, please say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer that. I don't have a problem with that. What was the genesis behind you and your husband choosing to adopt rather than have children of your own?
You know, for us, it actually started in 1995. If you recall, there was a worldwide women's convention that was going to be held in Beijing, China. And Hillary Clinton at the time was going to go representing American women. And it was a very controversial event to be held in Beijing because, of course, China is known for horrible human rights violations, particularly against women and children. So at the time, I was doing research on human rights violations in China. And my husband and I were dealing with infertility issues at the time. And I remember sitting at my desk and just falling apart and crying, just looking at these photos of little toddlers tied to potty chairs and pregnant women stashed into prison cells until they agreed to have an abortion because they didn't have a permit to get pregnant. And I was just mortified. And I remember calling my husband and saying, honey, if we ever decide to adopt, I want to go to China. Even if it's just one kid, I want to just make a difference. So a couple years later, we did decide to adopt and initially pursued going to China. And then the way international adoption works is it's very unstable. It fluctuates based on international law and war and politics. And so at the time that our paperwork went to China, the door shut. And our agency said, it'll be a year and a half before you can go. So we decided to adopt domestically in the meantime and got calls on 8 babies in 1 week.
Oh, my.
And so it was just really clear to us which two were to be ours. And so we went from none, no, to three toddlers in about 14 months.
Oh, my. So that's
So that's how we got the first three.
Significant. Yeah. And the subsequent three.
So when the children were – we were in the Air Force at the time. My husband was an active duty pilot, and we were living in the South at the time when we got the first three kids. And after we got out of the Air Force, we moved back home to Colorado. He's also from Colorado, graduated from East High School. And we had always known that we wanted to go back to China and get another child. We had two kids that were biracial domestically, and our one other daughter, Hannah, was from China. And typically when you adopt transracially, it's really helpful to the children to have at least two kids of the same race in the home so they can grow up together. There's no one that you're more bonded with or go through more life experiences with than your siblings. So if you're going to adopt across race, that's really important. So we knew we'd go back someday. And when the kids were six, we went back to China thinking we were getting a five-year-old. But the moment I saw him, I turned to my husband and I was like, there is no way he's five. He was really tiny, and he was running around like a toddler does. You know how they, like, run everywhere? So, but of course, by then, you know, he's my son, and you sign for the child before you even meet the child, so it's not like I was going to give him back. And so we brought him home and eventually had him tested, and sure enough, he was 2 years younger than we'd been told.
Interesting.
Which is very unusual. So we had 3 6-year-olds and a 3-year-old. Then when he was six, we adopted our daughter, Jalea, out of foster care. And so then we had 2 6-year-olds and 3 9-year-olds. About a year later, I was on Governor Ritter's task force for foster care and adoption, trying to help improve the foster care system here in Colorado. And we invited in a panel of young adults who had aged out of foster care. Mm-hmm. And I felt really drawn to one of these young women. and gave her my phone number and started meeting with her and helping her access some benefits. And eventually we became pretty good friends, and she had a couple little girls, and eventually she was in a situation where she needed a place to live. So she actually moved in with us for about 9 months. And after living with us for a couple months, she actually asked us to adopt her. So she was 24 at the time, and you can adopt an adult. You still go through the juvenile court system, but it's consensual adoption. And so we voted as a family, and everybody wanted to adopt her, and so we adopted her as well.
Okay. So this is the older one that I see you talk about every now and then.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
She doesn't live with us anymore. and so then just 2 years ago, right about the same time we moved to Castle Rock, my niece moved in with us, and we are her legal guardians, and she's the same age as my younger two, so we're back to triplets. So in conclusion, we have three 18-year-olds and three 15-year-olds and a 30-year-old that we are responsible for.
That's a mouthful. And we got to run to our first break. We're going to be right back with Sarah Padbury and Isidore Ruckel. Please stay tuned. /921 in your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Like to mention another show sponsor, FMS Bank, 2425 35th Avenue in Greeley. Phone number for them is 970-673-4501. You're going to want to give Tracy Axton a call if you're looking at refinancing your home or a new purchase. They are the place to go. They are a sponsor here at 1310 KFKA, but we love the fact that they service most of their loans there at their own bank. They don't sell them off to other lenders, and so if you have a problem, you can actually walk into the bank and talk to them in person and not have to dial an 800 number with a 7-digit extension and wait for a phone call back. When you talk to Tracy Axton there at FMS Bank, please tell them that you heard about them here at 1310 KFK on the Stacey Petty Show. Joining me in studio still, Isidore Ruckel. Hello.
Hello.
We're going to be talking to you soon. I'm going to let Sarah finish up here with her story. So we were talking about you've adopted minority children. I have to tell you, so our mutual Brighton friend, Peter Padilla.
Yes.
Peter has given me a lot of information that I was unaware of about the foster care system in this country, the difficulty behind getting minority kids adopted out. And he has given me statistics that break my heart. And so you guys chose on purpose to adopt biracial minority children instead of white children. Why? I know that's a weird question,
well,
but
no, that's not an unusual question.
Because a lot of people, when they go out to adopt, they want ones
a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby that looks just like them.
Yes, and without a I know one of the bigger problems that he's told me about too is you know people want to adopt white kids with that are drug-free babies.
Yes,
and that those are not readily available.
That's not what you're going to find in foster care anyway. Private adoptions typically come with kids that are healthier because the women are choosing to place their child for adoption, hoping or maybe I should just say knowing that it's better for the child, feeling that they believe that a different family raising this child would be better for the child. It's really an act of love, an unbelievable act of love to put the child's needs ahead of their own, and a very difficult decision. In fact, when we adopted our first daughter, we got her when she was 3 weeks old, and the birth mom did not want to meet us. And frankly, I didn't really care. I was like,
"You have your baby.
Fine, I got my baby. Here I am coming in with my husband and financial stability, and I got my life together." And essentially, I felt like almost I deserved this child. And 3 months later, we got to be there when our son was born. And his birth mom, Rebecca, we got to know over the last few months of her pregnancy. And she didn't have any familial support when she gave birth. And so we were there when the baby was born, and it was really beautiful. And Rebecca and I stayed up all night with the baby in the hospital together. And the next morning, she said, "I don't have a ride home. Can you give me a ride home?" So we put her and the baby in the back seat and drove her home, dropped her off, and left with her baby. And we didn't even get two blocks away before I was sobbing. My husband was sobbing. He pulled over, and I was like, "Who do we think we are? Nobody deserves someone else's child." And it was just very humbling to realize that we had been chosen to be our kids' parents by their moms. And it just really put me back in my place. And since that time, I've been completely comfortable with the fact that I will always share my kids with another woman in particular, and that's okay. And so contrast that to foster care children, where most of the cases in foster care, probably 99% of the cases in foster care, parental rights have been taken away from the parents due to abuse or neglect. Mm-hmm. And so when parents are not able to care for their kids, those kids have typically gone through quite a bit of trauma before they're removed and available for adoption. And by that time, many years have gone by. The system has gotten better over the years at not making kids stay in the system for a decade, which was very typical 20 years ago. And now I believe the average stay is about 3 to 4 years, which is still way too long in the life of a child.
Still too long. And the last I saw, there's roughly 20,000 kids that age out of the system on a national level each year.
That's correct.
And that's devastating.
Yes, you still need parents when you're 18.
Yeah.
Our daughter is case in point, you know, that we adopted at 24. She still yearned to have a family. And in fact, I know adults in their 40s and 50s who still wish to be adopted. Mm-hmm. Because that basic sense of identity is something that everybody yearns for, no matter what age they are. Mm-hmm. So the number of children available for adoption in the United States is disproportionately minority kids. And there's lots of different reasons for that, but that's the bottom line, the fact of it. And the truth is that it's not very popular in the African-American community in particular to adopt children from the system. Mm-hmm. However, for decades, the African-American community has informally adopted kids by taking care of their niece or their nephew or their second cousin, but just not with the system's involvement. So you have tens of thousands of kids. There's 100,000 children in the United States available for adoption currently whose parental rights have already been terminated. And those kids need permanent families. And there will be some issues, you know, bringing mm-hmm. those kids home. But the question is, are we willing to take a risk on their behalf to make a difference in their life and give them the opportunity to grow up in a family?
It takes a very strong, special person to take that task on.
I don't know.
I don't think I would be capable of it.
Well, I think if you do it in isolation, that's true. One of the things that we discovered going through all our adoptions is to have a support community is really important. And we found that community in our church as we moved around with the Air Force, because we didn't have family around. Mm-hmm. And when we moved home to Colorado, we started attending this church, Colorado Community Church, where it was a very multiracial church, and the pastor was actually African-American. And we got to know him and his wife, and they had adopted several kids at the time. Now, that's Robert and Barbara Gelinas. Now they're up to – they've adopted 5 kids at the time. They had adopted a couple. And we just found that we had similar visions that kids should be being taken care of in their own community. And in particular, the church should be reaching out to kids. Mm-hmm. And so here in Colorado, we actually started a program called Project 127 that worked as a bridge between the state and the church, helping kids get adopted. So if you will, the children are in the state, are in the state's care, the parents are in the church, and the parents are obligated by scripture to take care of orphans. Mm-hmm. And so those entities don't trust each other a lot of times. And so we wanted to facilitate a bridge to kind of help those come together. And it proved to be very successful. It's still going on. Project 127 has had over 300 adoptions in the last 10 years here in Colorado. And they do all the training and build a support system of parents so that they can adopt basically together and have a support system when dealing with the traumatized kids, which goes back to your question of, you know, how could I do this? And I really think you need a community of people who understand what you're going through, because I get all kinds of crazy questions and looks from people who don't get it. But when other people get it, you can do it. You can do it.
And so since you have mentioned it, that you have 6, why did you adopt so many?
Well, initially we started at adopting to get a kid, if you will, mm-hmm. for ourselves. You know, I want to build a family. And initially, to be honest, I want to rescue a kid from mm-hmm. China. But after about the second or third adoption, our attitude really changed. And it changed from getting a kid for me to giving my family to a child who still needs it. We just realized that the need was so great, and we had an extra spot in the van. You know, we could get a bunk bed. And, you know, once you hit three, it's all crowd control after that.
That's true, though.
You run out of hands.
Yeah.
So we just felt like we could handle more and offer a child an opportunity to grow up in a family. And it's been a difficult journey, but very worthwhile.
I have long held the belief that those who – I mean, you're a parent by nature and struggling with infertility. Mm-hmm. That I have long held the belief that this is God's way of saying you're a parent looking for a child, and there's a child that's
Absolutely.
Looking for a parent. And this is how you two are going to get together.
Absolutely. I would not – I am so thankful that God never let me get pregnant.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't trade my kids for 10 – well, not that I'd want 10 pregnancies.
But
I wouldn't – I would have missed out on so much if I didn't have my kids. And what I've learned and grown as a person as well by being an adoptive parent, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
We need to run to our bottom of the hour break. We're moving on to Isidore in the next segment. So please stay tuned for our 24-hour news and weather center update, and we're going to be right back. It is the bottom of the 9 o'clock hour here at News Talk 1310 KFKA. Stacey Petty with you. Sitting in studio with me, Sarah Padbury.
Hello.
Isidore Ruckel.
Hello.
Hello. We are drinking wine because it is Westlake Wine and Spirits Day here at 1310 KFKA, the show that comes on before me, 6 to 9. They do a beer review each week.
Well, I'm glad we got the wine.
Yes. And I do a wine review on here. So Westlake Wine and Spirits are located in the Westlake Shopping Center, corner of 35th Avenue and 20th Street. Each and every Friday, they have a wine tasting featuring four wines from 4 to 7 p.m. They choose four wines for a special sale each and every week. And the owner, Jim, likes to kind of go with the theme. So we just had the anniversary of Colorado's inception the other day.
Yes.
So he's chosen all Colorado wines. We are drinking Colorado Cellars, the peach. It's white wine with peach added to it. And it is a very good wine. Normal price on that one is $13.99, on sale for $11.99. And what do you say, Sarah, about it?
It's sweet and smooth. I like it very much, actually.
It is sweet and smooth. It was kind of, you know, when you open wine, it's got, it has a heavy alcohol flavor to it, but this has been sitting open. This might be what I start doing, is opening it the night before and letting it just sit. What
there
do you,
you
think
go.
Of the wine, Isidore?
I like it. It's not bitter and has an excellent taste to it.
It's a Colorado wine out of Palisade. All of the wines on special this week are from Colorado. There's a Carlson Vineyards Riesling, which I almost picked up because I love Rieslings. I did figure out, at least, Sarah, I like Rieslings and I like Moscatos.
Well, that's good to know.
Really like Moscatos.
I remember that for your birthday.
Which is just, they keep getting that number. It just doesn't stop,
let's not
does
talk
it?
About that. Move on.
Normal price on that Riesling is $14.99, on sale for $12.99. Infinite Monkey Rosé, which this one looked pretty neat, too. Normal price on that one is $17.99, on sale for $15.99. Two Rivers Syrah, $14.99, on sale for $12.99. Love Westlake Wine and Spirits and what they do for us here at the station. They're also a participant in that Liquor Limo app that you can put on your smartphone, both Droid, Android, and iPhone. You can go into those apps, shop around, and find the Liquor Limo app, and they are participant delivery to your home, no tip. $25 minimum purchase, so if you don't feel like going out and grabbing that bottle of wine, they'll bring it to you.
Do they deliver to Castle Rock?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I bet you there's a liquor limo store around there that's
okay.
participating in the same program. But what's neat about them, too, is they're big on customer service. You don't find that in a lot of the big stores.
Mm-hmm.
I can go in and purchase one bottle of something, and they'll offer to walk it out to my car for me. And I'm like, really? I can take this out to my car. Like, no, we'll take it for you. Sometimes they insist.
Huh.
No, seriously, I'm taking this to your car for you. So Westlake Wine and Spirits, we've got three thumbs up on this Colorado Cellar Peach.
Yes,
white.
Ma'am.
It is actually pretty good for a 9 a.m. show. I've had some nasty wines in here at 9 a.m. because I don't like red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't,
I don't
like
either.
Red wine. And so there's been some times we've done red wine at 9 a.m. on a Friday. And
doesn't start your weekend off well?
No. Go home and take a nap.
Well, this is a good thing then.
Yes. So I did link, just so the folks know, that Project 127 that you mentioned in the prior segment. Mm-hmm. I linked that on my show wall, Stacey Petty on Facebook. You can go and find that on there. Christian Foster Care and Adoption Services.
Correct.
That support, that foundation that you were talking about having.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to move on to Isidore, and we might end up spending the rest of the show talking about him. Is that
That's fine with me.
You get the majority of it. So Sarah is an adoption advocate. Actually, when it hasn't been 30 years since I've seen you, because we saw you at one of the high school reunions.
Oh, that's true.
And you handed my husband off some literature.
Did I?
Yes, you did, on adoption. Because this was right after we had our third child. So he's turning 19 soon.
So it's a 10-year.
It had to have been – well, I guess, yeah, because it's been – yeah.
10-year reunion.
Because we're looking at almost 30 years now.
2 more years. We'll be at 30 years.
Yeah. And he was – we had been kind of playing with a thought of – so we had 3 boys. And we thought, well, the only way that we're going to get a girl mm-hmm. is if we adopt a girl. And we had been kind of playing with the thought of adopting from China because mm-hmm. I knew I could get a girl from China.
Absolutely.
And you, like, cornered him at the reunion.
I can be a bit aggressive sometimes.
No, the Sarah I know, when we go traveling, she's very quiet, and
yeah.
I have to make the moves.
Uh-huh. And gave him a bunch of information. And I had been in contact with, I want to say it was a Lutheran service that I was trying to go through, a Lutheran adoption agency.
Could be.
And they had told me that because I already had kids, I could not adopt a healthy child.
Oh.
And
And that changes over time as China opens and closes and... Would you believe the current wait for a healthy baby in China is 8 years?
Really?
Yes. I was just Chinese Children Adoption International, located here in Colorado, is the largest agency to adopt from China. It was started by a Chinese couple, actually,
okay,
that had moved here. And just in the last couple of months, I was asking them what the current wait is. And they don't even take applications now for healthy children.
Okay.
They only take them for special needs children.
Okay. And we had – well, and I was telling you during the break – that third one was my difficult child in those toddler years.
Mm.
And I am aware of my personality and my abilities. I know when to say
no. You know your limits.
I know my limitations. And I said, there's no way I'm going to be doing this again. This third time was enough.
Sure.
I mean, this is the kid that, you know, he broke limbs doing – he's 2 years old and breaking bones and eating trash and getting food poisoning. And I just – between that and then the other – all of the challenges of the other kids. Because he came along a little bit later. And so I was doing the thing of where I'm running the kids to this practice and I'm running to this music lesson. And
you
know how all that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I – running and helping Jim run his business. And I was like, I think I'm maxed out here. I don't think I can do anymore. I regret it now, these years down the road. I deeply regret it and thinking – we could have made a difference in somebody's life and it could have made a difference in our life and I blew it.
Well, you know, I think God's timing is involved in a lot of these things. I think God knows, has known from the beginning of time, which child belongs in which family. And he's not too late and he's not going to get mixed up and give me your kid or you my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you or any of the listeners that have thought about adoption previously or considering it now or think it's too late, I just want to say that it's worth a look. And it's not too late necessarily.
I'm planning my retirement right now.
Well, you don't have to start them out that small. I'll just say that.
I have a friend of mine that I was messaging with her on Facebook yesterday that they're going to be taking in a couple of foster kids pretty quick.
Oh,
here.
Neat.
And actually, it's Jen Boat. She calls in on Thursdays, and they're going to be helping out with.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So that was. But it still kind of made me feel somewhat bad about myself going, she's older and she's got older. She's grandma now and she's going to do these foster
kids.
And so I really have messed up here.
Well, not messed up. Different people have different callings. I mean, Isidore's mother, for example, raised 5 and now they're on their second set of 5. And, you know, and I thought I had a lot with 6. So each person is called to do has different abilities and different callings and what they should do. But I think everybody can do something, even if it's just to support adoptive families or support orphan care, because kids are voiceless and they need someone to stand up for them.
And I'm a big fan of CASA. I'm thrilled about what CASA has done in the state of Colorado, and I know several people that are involved in it now, and it's making a huge difference in the lives of these kids. So we've gotten this perspective here from an American mom that has adopted out of the country.
And in country.
And that is your history, and that is your perspective and where you're coming from. So now we have Isidore Ruckel, who was adopted from a foreign country by an American parent, American family, American husband, wife. And you've been in the United States for how long now?
I've been here for 23 years now.
23 years now. And you were adopted at the age of 11?
At the age of 11 in 1991.
And you had spent all of those years, your 11 years, in a Romanian orphanage.
I did, correct.
And I had mentioned the 2020 expose at the beginning of the show. How similar was that orphanage to what you were in?
Are you ready to hear this?
Yes, sir, I am.
That was my orphanage.
That's what I feared.
So a journalist is sent to Romania to cover the revolutionary Ceausescu's execution, and she is distracted by someone else telling her, hey, you need to go to visit these orphanages. This needs to make headlines. And she takes the risk and goes. And my orphanage was the first one that she discovered. And ABC 2020 covered it. Janice Tallman was the producer for that segment. And through her stories, that's where the doors open for the international deport and international adoption to reopen.
It's a lot to process. That's very disturbing.
It was. And, you know, if it had never been discovered, I always wonder what would have happened to all those places. Would anyone else have come along? And what would have happened to all the kids who have never experienced freedom or experienced to be able to go outside for the first time? Can you imagine being 18 years old and never been able to step outside?
Yeah.
That's what some lives were like for orphans.
That was the reality in those
Romanian. That was the reality.
Yeah. And it's there have been some news headlines here and there since then in other countries that have similar situations in their orphanages. Was Romania the most prevalent, the most destructive?
I think in the 90s it was the biggest. It was the headlines. It was the worst to have discovered. And then we've learned that either other European countries have had very similar problems as Romania. But Romania was definitely the top of the topic in headlines.
What was unique about Romania was as the Eastern Bloc countries slowly fell peacefully in 1989, you remember the Berlin Wall falling and country after country peacefully fell, except Romania. Nicolae Ceausescu was a megalomaniac communist ruler, and he felt that every woman in his country needed to have at least 5 children to make the country strong, and even gave awards to women who had 10 children. You would win these little medals. So they were encouraged to propagate, if you will. That's how he looked at it. And the children belonged to the state, not the parents. So as the country was getting poorer and poorer, there were more and more and more kids, and the parents couldn't take care of them. So they, especially the ones that were disabled at all, were discarded.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you ended up in the orphanage.
Well, I ended up being in an orphanage because of my disability. I was infected with polio at a normal hospital. And a lady told her, you know, take him to this hospital. They can help him. And ideally, they couldn't. And once I was dropped off, they left me there. But the one thing I do want to make it clear is that for a long time, I always thought that most children were abandoned because they were mentally ill or because they were disabled. And that is not the fact, actually.
Okay.
I believe that most children were born perfectly normal. Sure, they may have had minor medical, but nothing that would damage long-term life. They became mentally and physically ill by being put into institutions is the one thing I've discovered. And they picked up the habits of rocking back and forth, hitting their heads against the wall, being put in a straitjacket and drugged. And ideally, the cause of so many children dying and becoming so ill was the cause of institutions.
And attachment disorder.
Absolutely.
That's a significant portion of it, because every study that I've ever read talks about the importance of having that connection with an adult and the love in those early years. The first few years are so prevalent in building a healthy psyche and a healthy body. And when you have that removed from you, it affects you. Yeah.
Dr. Charles Nelson did a study on Romanian orphans, started in 1995. And the one thing he wanted to see, can these orphans – who have been severely neglected and isolated, can they be rehabilitated? And the answer is yes, they can, is what he discovered. Ideally is that whether you are disabled or normal, every child requires to have nourishment and proper care in order to develop and grow. But at the same time, you have to realize, how can someone provide care for 500 children when you only have 50 to 100 staff? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. So you're right. The institutionalized children are neglected, isolated, and therefore one of the things that starts shutting down is their brain cells. They become isolated, and next thing you know, they're pretty much a vegetable. And for some, I feel like children know the difference between life and death. It's as if some of them are asking, death, please come and get me and take me away from this world that I never asked to be born in. But nobody, no adult world is going to hear that, that's caring for them, because they're so busy living their own life and doing their own things. But if you pay attention, you can see that something is wrong. And that's the saddest thing in institutions, is that children did not receive them. And for the most part, especially toddlers, they're not recognized. They're suffering. They're hurting. And they're screaming, but nobody can hear them because they can't scream.
How – so here, 2015, has all of that gone away? No. The same kind of institutions still exist in Romania.
I went to Romania for 2 months, and we visited – I visited some institutions.
And this is just here recently. You were
this
there.
Is just
yes.
recently. I came back – what are we, in August? 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
We visited some orphanages, and they did improve tremendously compared to the 90s, no doubt about it. But they still have kids who were actually what you saw in 2020 in the toddler's room, almost dying, at, you know. They look the same, and they look like they're dying. And unfortunately, you, what can you do to change them to develop? It's a little too late. But from what I've seen, all the orphanages I visited have improved tremendously. Now, I haven't seen the inhumane institutions like the ones I grew up from the 90s. I couldn't even get access to those, even if I wanted to.
Okay.
For the ones we saw, we had to get we had clearance because of connection. But Romania still has issues with child development, orphans. The biggest problem that Romania deals and faces with is street kids today. You know, they're kicked out of the system once they're 26 or if they complete their high school. And where are they going to go? Nowhere. Nobody wants them. They end up on the streets. And when they end up on the streets, what do they get into? They start doing drugs. They start doing prostitution in order to be able to make it in life.
And forgive my ignorance here. What is the structure of the Romanian government right now?
You mean
what? As far as is it a republic? Is it a democracy? Is it pseudo communism?
I believe it's democracy.
Okay.
And there are some people in the Romanian government, don't get me wrong, that do care and are trying to change the system. But unfortunately, there are higher people in the system that can outrank them. And in some cases, this is exactly what's happened. The problem that we have with Romania government, honestly, is that majority of them are from the communist time. And for a long time, I actually believed that when Ceausescu and the secret forces were eradicated, I thought all of the government were replaced. A brand new branch of system was set up. But that's not the case. The case is that majority of the Romanian government that was still in office are from the communist time. In order for a change to come through, they either need to change their mind and open their heart to the reality, or get them out of office and find people that really do care about caring and providing for its people. As leaders and governors, you're supposed to guide and protect your people, not abuse it and neglect it in some way.
Tell them a little bit about the changes when we come back with the new president.
We need to run to a break. We will be right back. Please stay tuned. Final minute of this hour here at your News Talk 1310 KFKA studio. Stacy Petty with you. I'd like to mention another show sponsor, Good Samaritan Society, Bonnell Community, located on the corner of 22nd Street and 8th Avenue in Greenlee. Phone number for them is 970-352-6082. Find out about the many amenities that are offered here on the Good Samaritan Society Bonnell Community Campus at good-sam.com. They're having their first annual Senior Law Day on September 10th. Located in the University of Northern Colorado Ballroom. $5 donation is all they're asking. You can find out a lot of legal information about your senior loved one as far as wills and trusts, Medicaid advance directives, real estate planning, long-term planning, veterans benefits, fraud, scam, prevention, and remedies. When we come back, we're going to have Sarah Padbury with us still, Isidore Ruckel still. I want to ask you about, obviously, your movie, because that's one of the things that we're going to be discussing. But about the situation, current situation in Romania as far as adoption. We got to run to our top of the hour break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
One day you're someone with a family and a future.